8:30 Thursday nights means our employment law on the night side with our friend Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer, Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry & Swan Employment and Labor Lawyers. Howard Levitt, welcome back to the show.
Barb, thank you for having me.
It's been a nice week. We've been able to chat about a few different stories.
Yes, great.
And I have a follow-up to one of them, which is really interesting. So I think it was yesterday we spoke about... Let me find his name. I think it's Paul Woods. Dr. Paul Woods. So he was fired January 10th. He is the doctor who did five trips to the U.S. since March, the most recent over the holidays. He is suing, claiming that he was given permission. And in fact, he submitted some emails back and forth between a top official named Amy Walby, who told him essentially there should be no problem and I don't have to take it to the board. Well, guess who announced her resignation today?
Well, there you go. Look, they all should announce the resignations because it was a travesty the way this was handled. They all should resign. They should ask, they should apologize to him, invite him back immediately, and then he may not come back and we'll have no case. But that's a smart move right now because they're dead in the water, not for $2.5 million, obviously, for the real value of the case.
I mean, you know, okay, the guy goes away and should not have gone away considering his position and he's with the hospital.
If he gets permission,
that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so how do they then fire him if they gave him permission to go?
Because they were too signaled. Because they were embarrassed after Rod Phillips and the public clamor against people going at the head of our hospital went away. That's outrageous. And people who didn't give permission didn't know about it. Said, let's fire him. And the other people were sheepish and didn't want to admit they gave permission. And it was just a bungle. But now the facts have come out and they should eat it, be accountable, be responsible. And if they come back to work, it was our mistake. If you do it again, of course, you'll be fired and they won't do it again. And it's a rule for everybody. But remember, this isn't a legal activity. Government
right.
aspirational directives of avoid non-essential travel are not the law. There's nothing
right.
stopping from buying a ticket and flying out tomorrow to your vacation home. So since it's not against the law, unless you have a company policy prohibiting it or you've been a person in a senior position who's advocating against it, so it's against your brand, there's nothing wrong with it.
We were going to follow up with you about the new restrictions and regulations and whether that means that your staff have to work from home, because if you can work from home, you must work from home, is the last that I heard. What is the actual truth about that?
Well, what I've read so far in the regulation is that if you're an essential service such as a law firm, then it's up to the decision makers at the firm to decide if it's something that can productively be done at home. And my view is, from past experience 8 months ago, it can't be productively done from home. Not productively, not in my shop. So we're not working from home.
Okay. You don't have that many people in your office, do you?
Well, it's not crowded. No, we've got lots of space. About 24 people, but a pretty large space. And most people are in their own offices, including some of the secretaries.
Oh, wow. 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. You've got Canada's top employment lawyer on the line. What's going on with your workplace? I've got a bunch of text questions coming in. Let me start with, hello, Mr. Levitt. I was given a working notice of termination of employment until October 31st, 2021. My department is being shut down, 59 years old, 22 years in service as a technical rep, making $65,000. One, how much severance am I entitled to? Two is working notice.
16 to 18 months, which working notice directly offsets, which is why they're doing it, to avoid the severance payment.
Sure, but does it depend on when this person was given the working notice? Because if they were given it now, that's only 9 months until the end of October.
Correct. We don't know when they were given it. I'm saying whatever working notice they were given offsets the obligation for wrongful dismissal damages.
Okay.
So, and depending on the size of the company, the severance pay portion under the Employment Standards Act, which is a week per year of service up to 26 weeks, cannot be given as working notice, but must be given as pay. But again, we don't know if the company has a payroll of more than $2.5 million, so he may not get severance pay under the Act.
Do companies give working notice hoping that people will leave?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, they give working notice for two reasons. First of all, they want to get some productive work rather than, frankly, severance pay is a waste financially to the employer because they're getting no value. Working hours are getting value, maybe not as much value as they normally would have got, but they're getting some value. And they hope the person will come back to them and say, I hate coming to work knowing every day I'm working away my severance pay. Please just pay me. And the company said, no, we're going to get work out of it. And eventually, the employee oftentimes will take less money to go away than if they just fired them and then started negotiating.
Are there times when companies don't want to take the chance of keeping someone around in case they do something to sabotage the situation?
About 95% of the time, Barb, which is why you never hear of working notice. I mean, this how often do we ever get these questions about working notice? Almost never. Most of the time, people say we don't. It's not just sabotage. We don't want morale impact. We don't want people who know they're leaving anyway and are upset and angry and not going to be working very hard. And it'll affect other people, other employees there. It won't be great with customers or members of the public they have to interact with. They might have production issues. So they just pay them instead. And, and they're uncomfortable seeing them around after they fired them.
Sure, of course. It's extremely awkward. I mean, most times people don't even get to go back to their desk, never mind work there for another 9 months.
Right.
Right?
But it's not a bad move for an employer. I often recommend it to my employer clients.
To give working notice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It would be very difficult, I think, for someone to stay there for that long.
What if there's a permanent shutdown of the business so everybody's in the same boat? That's a good occasion for working notice. Just by way of example.
Sure.
And you're gonna close in 10 months, give everybody 10 months working notice.
Right. I mean, I think we've had a caller say they were gonna retire and shut down their business, and that was sort of the way to do it, rather than take people right to the end and then have to pay them severance.
You've got it.
Okay.
And they save a lot of severance pay that way when a company's shutting down. That's my first advice to them. Let's give working notice as quickly as you can, as far in advance as you can.
416-872-1010. Here is Michael. Welcome to the show, and go ahead with Howard Levitt.
Yeah, hi there. Thank you very much. So I was laid off yesterday. That's the reason I was laid off was because I cannot work at home. The rest of the company is working from home. Now, it's probably what we all hope is a temporary layoff, but am I entitled to some sort of severance? Or
yes, you're entitled to say, I'm not accepting this, and I want to be treated as if I was fired. That's called a constructive dismissal. That's what just happened to you. So how long are we there?
7 years.
What do you earn a year?
About $30,000.
Okay, that's not helpful. How old are you?
56.
That's helpful. I would think overall a court would probably give you four or 5 months pay. The problem you have is your salary. The courts would view somebody who makes $30,000 a year is probably not having too difficult a time finding a replacement job. And that's the main factor in how much notice you get. How much severance pay you get is how replaceable your job is by the employee. So, but still, given your age, given your length of service, it's probably a 5 month case.
Okay. Well, listen. What if I don't want to take this to a court of law? I mean, like, what is the company liable for? Can I, like, how do I apply for? Why didn't they offer me severance?
That is your only choice, because they want you to be laid off and hopefully you'll find another job. We'll never go back. They'll never pay you anything. That is what is going on in the economy right now. That's why they didn't offer you severance. Why pay a severance when they could potentially pay no severance and never have you back anyway? And you can't do it without going to a court of law because there's no layoff protection under the Employment Standards Act. So it's a common law that is a court law. Issue. You have to take it to court. Along the way, 99% chance based on history that you'll have a deal made, but you have to proceed with the counsel through the court system.
Okay.
Given your salary, you might just want to sue in small claims. You would sue in small claims court anyway. You could do it yourself. Not well, but you could do it yourself.
All right. Michael, thanks a lot for the call. Howard Levitt joins us. Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry & Swan, employment and labor lawyers. Howard is Canada's top employment lawyer. He's here to answer your employment law questions. Are you having issues with work? Have you recently been laid off? And what should you do to be able to collect the severance that you are owed. Steve is up next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, hi, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing, Steve?
Not bad. My wife is works in a retirement home, so she's considered an essential worker. My job hours have been changed to nights. Well, I have an 11-year-old son, so I'm working at home with him all day doing the virtual learning, and the company will not lay me off, so I've got to come in at nights, and I'm working about 35 hours a week. Do I have any options, or should I just be happy that I still have a job? It's pretty exhausting. I've been working with the company about 30 years.
Okay. The company's accommodating your child care needs, but they're saying, give us other hours instead.
Yes, they're staying still in the hours because they have so much work. So I'm coming in basically as soon as my wife arrives home, I
have to work. I understand. And that's a new shift for you, correct?
Yes.
I think it's fair for you to say to them, I am exhausted. I'm doing two shifts. I can't do that. So I will accept a layoff instead until I can arrange someone else to fulfill my child care needs. In other words, when schools reopen.
Right. It all hinges on the school thing, right?
So that's right. So it could be a long time or it could be a short time. You've got to, in the meantime, try and find other people who can look after your children when you're at work at the same time as your wife.
Well,
during COVID,
that's accommodation.
An obligation to assist in the accommodation. You've got an obligation to try and find a provider yourself. Show them the efforts you made. Prove you've made efforts. And then say, we've made efforts. If your company can find somebody to look after my kids during the day and help them with remote learning, that's fine. But in the meantime, I can't do both jobs.
So, and I'll still have a job to come back to if I say that.
Look, I don't know what your employer is going to do with that. I would try and negotiate it up front. I think you have a stronger case than they do. But if they win, you're giving up many years of service. So this is not a guaranteed case.
Right. Okay.
It's
Thanks very much.
Success. But it's an impressionistic case, and whether it's reasonable, they are accommodating you by letting you take the time off you want to look after your kids, but they're saying, give us the other time. And you might want to suggest, for example, let me give him some weekend time instead, so I'm not working these 16-hour shifts. But you've got to try and work with them. Accommodation doesn't have to legally be perfect, but it has to be both sides making some concessions.
Howard, this is a really tricky time for parents, obviously, with schools remaining closed. And, I mean, look, you've got parents, you have teachers who are teaching and their kids are online at the same time as their home. Are you talking to some of your employers about that? Are people coming to you and saying, do we have to accommodate this?
I think they understand they do.
Okay.
And what's happening most of the time, Barb, is that people don't even know. People are at home, they're looking after their kids, they're homeschooling, they're supposed to be working from home, and there's no real accountability for how much they're getting done. So most of it's being done without the employer realizing that the employee is really spending more of their time with their kid than doing the job.
So there's a couple of texts here. I'm going to try to make heads or tails of it because it's a little bit confusing, but it seems like an interesting story. Somebody says, I got laid off last March. I think it's fired May. Assistant manager of dealership, $88,000 a year, offered $21,000 severance, sought advice. Lawyer said to sue because of other issues, harassment, etc., by other manager. Got a new job in June. Previous employer said I'm not getting a penny and took $12,000 of $21,000 off the table. My lawyer doesn't want to do anything. Asked for a clarification. Got fired after 2 months, laid off. Started to sue, got a job, laid off in March, fired in May. They took the offer off the table, took back $12,000. But the company will do that, won't they, if you've got another job?
Yeah, so I didn't do the, you were going too quickly for me to get the arithmetic,
sorry,
right? So I don't know how much income he lost. I'm taking it. They said that they offered a certain number of months' pay. Then I found another job. He stupidly didn't grab the offer when he got the other job. That was a major mistake from him and his lawyer. And then they said, you're not going to have to pay him. We're not going to pay him more than you might get in court. All you're going to get in court is your lost wages. So if your lost wages are only $12,000 or whatever the number is, then that's all we're going to offer you. They took away the offer they had before. But that is what is going to happen if you don't seize an offer when you have the opportunity and it becomes a better offer than your legal entitlement. It's the lawyer's fault for not saying, you've got another job? grab the offer now.
Right. The offer was $21,000, and after he got the job, they took back $12,000 of the offer.
Which meant he was only unemployed for $9,000 worth of time.
Right.
I take that to mean. And if he was only unemployed for $9,000 worth of time, all he would get is $9,000 in court after expense of long proceeding. And so the company intelligently said, well, all you can get is $9,000, so that's all we're going to offer you now. He took back the $21,000 offer. Sometimes you have to know when to say yes, and you can't let your anger get in the way of good judgment.
Right, especially if your job prospects are good, right?
Well, if you, in this case, it wasn't a matter of prospects. He had a job. He took a job, and he didn't take their offer, and then they found out about the job sometime after that and took back the offer.
Right.
Yeah, if your prospects of job are good, then that should determine what offer you take. But I'm always suspicious about that because some people are bulliently optimistic and believe their prospects are great and they're actually terrible.
Okay.
Some people think their prospects are terrible and they're actually great.
Okay. Somebody else writes, in my late 30s, been with a company for 8 years in a reception role, $38,000 a year, was advised to go on leave as I had no childcare, school closure issue due to COVID, was working from home for a while, but cannot do about 50% as some is in-person work. Do I qualify for CERB and or EI? They say they will pay for my time if I come in anytime. I didn't request a leave. They told me to do it until I can work full-time in the office. Is there a difference? What do I do now?
Well, the person is being paid their full salary. How do they qualify for CERB? They want to quit, essentially, and qualify for CERB, or ask to be laid off to qualify for CERB. It sounds employee-initiated. So no, they don't qualify for CERB or EI. The employer is giving them a break by giving their full salary for half the job. They should be delighted.
I mean, I know we go over this all the time, but it seems that there are people who still don't understand the point of CERB.
Yes, CERB is for people who are involuntarily laid off right now, not for people who have a choice or decide to quit or would prefer to be laid off or think, well, I'm not making very much, let me get the CERB money, and it's almost as much enough to do anything. And those fraudsters might well be found out one day.
Well, I mean, look, I think it's starting to happen now, right? I mean,
it's starting to happen now.
People have gotten letters, and then there's been some back and forth about net versus gross, and you had to make a minimum of $5,000. And I've read contradictory stories in the last couple of days, but one of them said that the government is saying, you know what, we're not forgiving those CERB payments. You're going to have to pay them back if you did not qualify.
They're saying that, but you know how many enforcers they have, how many officers they have to have detecting it. There's a scant chance anyone's going to get caught, but at least that's the message. It's good messaging.
Yes. Howard Levitt, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for doing this.
Well, that was a fast half hour. Thanks, Barb.
It sure was. Great to have you on. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Howard will be back with Jerry Agar tomorrow, and then on Jerry Agar, and he'll be with Jerry at 10, and then he'll back on Sunday for the Employment Law Show at 1. Levitt LLP, if you want to check out the website.